welcome back to our midweek edition of The Coach and the Don, where we discuss all things draft. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing good. As always, Coach and the Don is brought to you by Sports Al Dente, and we're excited to announce that we have just recently joined the Pulse Podcast Network. They have a free app on the Apple or Google Play App Store. Pulse Podcast Network. You can download that for free. Catch all of our podcasts there if you don't already download them from iTunes or Google Podcasts or TuneIn or the website. You know, we're pretty much everywhere, but you know, if there's just another outlet you can go to. They have a lot of other great shows on there to check out. We'll be kind of getting more up to speed on more of the shows they have. But Pulse Podcast Network, go ahead and check that out. Also, just, you know, got to mention, if you're sick of mainstream sports media, well, sportsaldente.com is the place for you. It's a West Coast player-centric media platform. The goal of our site is to feature the great players of the AFC and NFC West of the NFL, the West Coast College Football, and the NFL Draft, as we're getting into today, the Pacific Division of the NBA, professional wrestling, and, of course, fantasy football. So our goal is to analyze players, dissect style of play, and tell stories. We don't want to promote false narratives or mainstream clickbait. So we do mention, or we do offer, three different membership packages, monthly, yearly, or lifetime. Subscribing to these gives you full access to all of our West Coast sports coverage, not only in the online print that we have on there, but also video and podcast formats. So make sure to go check that out. If you sign up for a lifetime subscription, use the promo code THECOACHANDTHEDON. We'll get you a nice free t-shirt. If you want to do monthly or yearly or lifetime, you don't necessarily want a t-shirt, use the promo code WELCOME10. It's going to get you 10% off any of those as well. So, but let's get into some draft talk, do a little free agency. We are going to be joined in just a little bit by Nick Kendall from Mile High Huddle. He's also part of the Building Broncos podcast. So we're going to talk a little bit about Broncos draft. But before we get to the draft, we want to discuss a little bit of free agency, since that's going to be happening here in just about a month. Talon, would you say March 13th, I believe, is when free agency hits?
Yes, sir. The official start date.
Official start date. That's always exciting. Exciting couple days with all the crazy transaction. You know, there's a lot of big free agents this year. Not necessarily any big quarterback names like there were last year. Well, I guess there was mainly just Kirk Cousins was the main big one. Obviously, Case Keenum, if you want to say him. But the big fish last year was Cousins. This year, there's not really a quarterback like that. But a lot of big names, though.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, guys like Jadeveon Clowney, Landon Collins, Clinton Dix.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah, DeMarcus Lawrence is another big one. Kareem Hunt technically is a free agent.
Yeah, and reports are that some teams do have interest in him. So
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if he ends up landing somewhere. But you know, the Broncos enter free agency when they do. Currently, as their roster is constructed right now, they have about $36 million in cap space. Obviously, I think we expect some guys to get cut or restructured, so that's obviously going to change some. You know, the talk is they're going to have a lot of cap room going into this free agency period. So I'll start with you, Talon. I know it's not your team, but I mean, you know as well as anybody just the structure of the game and different teams. Is there any names currently under contract or with expiring contracts that you don't expect to be back on the Broncos roster? Any names that jump out at you, I guess?
Yeah, well, he's currently under contract. And you would know a lot more than me. It's just something I look at and kind of think that might be one we may see. So to start off, Bradley Roby needs to be re-signed. I wouldn't be surprised to see Chris Harris cut.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's not carrying that much dead cap. I think it's about $850,000, but he clears up almost $7 million, which could go a long way in re-signing not only Roby, but if you want to re-sign a couple of those linemen and maybe go out and try to lure in a couple of big-name free agents, man, you got to have that money. Chris Harris is taking up not a big chunk of space, but a little bit, and his contract expires after this year anyway, and he's kind of getting on. I think he'll be 30 next year. But he's one of the premier cornerbacks in the league, and he's really underrated. But in terms of future and where this team might be trying to go, I wouldn't be shocked to see Chris Harris's name on the chopping block.
You know, I respect your opinion, and that's why I love doing this. We can be opinionated. I don't see how in the hell that happens. I mean, you you never know. Things could. I think in order to keep Roby, they're going to have to pay him, or any team for that matter is going to be paying him probably around that $10 million figure. So I don't know why you'd – and I get what you say, Harris's contract's expiring, but I don't know why you'd pay a guy $2 million more that is not even in the same league from a guy you currently have who is arguably the best nickel or slot corner in the game. You can say what he is overall, but I think he is the best slot corner. So he's, you know, he's due to make $8.7 million next year. You are correct about the, you know, the dead cap money. There's really not much there, which is what you got to look at for certain players. But I think from what I've been hearing, at least, is it's much more likely that he just gets an extension with a different, you know, incentives. Maybe not a lot of high money in the early years. They can lure in free agents. Then his contract kind of hits more. But I personally, I think I don't see Bradley Roby in a Broncos uniform next year. So kind of just to kind of say the opposite of what you were saying, I think they let him go. You know, maybe with the new coaching staff in there, they, you know, they have new defensive coordinator, obviously Vic Fangio, different DB coach. Basically, the whole defensive side of the ball, other than Bill Kohler, is going to be looking different. So maybe they like his skill set and they can change. I just know last year he was so up and down. Still a talented guy, still a first-round pick, but it'd be really hard. And, I mean, there's guys you can attest to on the Chiefs. You watch a lot more than other guys, but watching him through 16 games, it'd be really hard to pay him $10 million a year or so, which I think he'll probably be asking for on the open market.
Yeah. No, I was mainly – and I was just mainly looking at young youth and you know, what where they're going. Do they want really want to hang on to a guy who's kind of getting on in years, and he was hurt last year. I think you may have been hurt the year before. I'm not 100% sure on that. You would obviously know a lot better than me. But I don't know. I just thought maybe with that youth and Bradley Roby, he's never been terrible, but he's never been really that top-end guy. And then Isaac Yiadom, I believe, mm-hmm. is how you pronounce it. He's another younger kid that he's on a rookie deal. So I don't know. It's just kind of interesting for me to think that you always see these veterans that you don't, of course, being a Broncos fan and following them and all that stuff, having a little bit of inside information else. But you know, obviously he's a mainstay and he's a staple in that defense. So, you know, I would be shocked if he did get cut, but I'm just saying you always see veterans that, you know, you see them, their name going scrolling across the bottom of the ESPN, you know, breaking news, Chris Harris has been cut by the Broncos, you know? Yeah. So it'd be one of those really heavy hitting, like, wow, okay, I didn't see that coming. But then you really start to get in the weeds and look at it, and you're like, oh, well, okay. I mean, I kind of get it. But, yeah, it's just one of those that if it happens, it makes us look really smart. And if it doesn't, well, I took a shot.
What's funny about it, you said, is he was the guy when, you know, after Vance was fired and they were bringing in the new coaching staff, he was the guy that basically came out and said, you know, this, I think they're going to be stripping the veterans down. This is going to be a, you know, a full overhaul. So it'd be ironic, if you will, if he was one of the guys that ended up getting the axe there. Personally, I don't see it.
That would be ironic.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. Especially because he is still under contract for a year. So if anything, I could see him being maybe like a trade deadline bait or something. But I think they rework his deal before the season even starts and get him under contract at least a few more years. So a name that kind of stands out at me, who is also under contract, but this is a more kind of will have to do with restructuring. I know he wants to remain a Bronco. I think the Broncos would like to keep him, but just how his contract is, it's not really what they want to be paying him. But at the same time, he has a lot of dead money. Brandon Marshall, one of their inside linebackers, due to make $9 million, but he has $4 million in dead money. So I don't know how you move on a guy if you're going to take a $4 million cap hit there. So obviously a restructure is probably in the works. I know he's come out and said he's willing to restructure. He wants to stay on the Broncos. You know, they just signed Todd Davis to an extension last year. They're obviously excited about Josie Jewell, who they drafted last year and, you know, kind of started towards the end of the year, most of the year actually, because Marshall was hurt a lot of the year. So that's a name that I don't know how they would do it, because I don't know if you want to take a $4 million hit, but it seems like a guy with what he's making that is feasible to move on from.
Yeah, that's an interesting name. The dead cap kind of sucks, and he is a good player. He fits perfectly in that 3-4 Fangio defense. But maybe they're looking to maybe bring in, you know, because they just drafted a guy in Chicago when Fangio was there named Roquan Smith. So maybe they're looking for a little bit more leaner, athletic guy to fill that role. And, you know, maybe Marshall, maybe he doesn't fit as well as we might think. But, yeah, that'd be an interesting name to see scroll across the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, and, you know, I think he could be a fit, kind of like you were alluding to. But they, you know, the mainstay in Denver in those Super Bowl years and then in Chicago and Fangio there was Danny Trevathan, who's a, you know, a little smaller, a little quicker. Can do a little better in pass coverage. Marshall's, I think, a good run stuffer, but not that he's terrible in pass coverage, but he's just not quite as quick enough to cover some of those quicker tight ends and stuff over the middle. So that, I think, will definitely be positioned. Again, they address in the draft. Obviously, free agency happens before the draft, so it'll be need to see if it's going to be more needed if he is no longer there. But I'd like to see him back just because I think he's a good locker room presence. I think he's a good, great person, and he's still a good, he has a lot to offer. But for $9 million, you want your linebacker to be solid, and he was, like I mentioned, kind of hurt a lot last year, and, you know, just has that contract that isn't great. But, I mean, he is still 29, so he's fairly young, so we could see them work something out. He's under contract until 2021, so restructuring could definitely happen. Go ahead.
I was just going to bring up probably the biggest name on these potential cuts, trade, whoever. But Emmanuel Sanders, how do you think his story ends?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting one, because I think just because of the injury, it makes things interesting. I think he's a guy that I think they want back. It just depends if they need to rework his contract or not, which I don't think – I haven't heard that they're trying to or anything in that nature at this point. He is due to make almost $13 million next year, at least his cap hit is. But, you know, he's still the veteran presence on that offense. Every other receiver will be going into either their, like, second or third year they currently have. So you do need a veteran guy. And we saw when he went down just how the production – dropped off dramatically with even with how great Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton and Tim Patrick, I think, can be. You still want that veteran guy to lead it. He's a tactician, good route runner. He was the guy on third down that when you really needed a big play or just those 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yards, he could get it done for you. So I think they still would want him back. I think this is maybe the last year on his contract.
Yeah. 2019 is his contract year.
Yeah. Yes. This is his last year. So I think they let him play it out. I think he'll be back, personally.
Okay. So let's kind of talk about potential free agents that Denver may look to bring in. Obviously, the top names we mentioned earlier, Clowney and DeMarcus Lawrence and Trey Flowers and stuff like that. But out of not just top guys, but are there any guys you'd really just like to see the Denver Broncos try to bring in? Someone that could probably even be cost effective and fill a role and step in and be a starter?
You know, the guy that kind of jumps out at me right off the bat, because I don't think they really make a big splash signing with any of these guys. I think the biggest name guys are on the defensive side of the ball, and they're not really in the positions that they truly need. You know, there's no big corners free agents, which I think that – I mean, the biggest name free agent corner is probably Bradley Roby. You could maybe say Ronald Darby in there, but no one I think that would really make a huge splash at corner, which is what they really need. A lot of them are, you know, edge rushers, which they're solid there. But a guy I like that, you know, may not be as recognizable, but just won a Super Bowl, Trent Brown, offensive tackle. He's with the Niners for a long time. He was with New England last year. I think he could definitely be a good target, especially with Valdir being a free agent this year, or has the option to be a free agent. I think he's a restricted free agent or something like that. But so I think Brown's an interesting guy. You want to get that veteran presence. He played very well, obviously, for New England. Mike Munchak now being the new O-line coach. It'll be interesting to see kind of what he does, especially with we had mentioned it, but Paradis is a free agent who's, you know, a top talent center, but he's coming off a really bad injury, especially a really tough one for a center to come back from. So it'll be interesting to see if they sign him back or if they move on from him. Ronald Leary is another guy that's still under contract, but he only has about $1.5 million in dead money if they decide to move on from him, also coming off an injury. So we could see a big overhaul in that offensive line, like I mentioned, with Mike Munchak coming in as their new O-line coach. and, you know, maybe they target a guy like Trent Brown. You know, there is quite a few offensive tackles in free agency. You have other guys, you know, Donovan Smith from Tampa Bay, Juwan James from Miami. No one really that's, you know, jumps off the page. I think last year Nate Solder was that, like, big-name guy. I think probably Trent Brown's probably the biggest-name guy, but still guys you could get for a smaller price, I think. I don't know what do you think a guy like Trent Brown would go for?
I mean, with his age, you might get him on a 1 or 2 year deal. What do you think, 7 to 10 range?
That's what I'm thinking, which would be, I think, very good signing for them, considering, you know, a guy like Nate Solder last year, I think, signed for crazy money with the Giants, which is what they weren't trying to do. So that's a guy I like. I think a lot of the other positions would be wiser just to, you know, sign in-house, try to retain some guys, and then tackle the draft and try to capitalize how they did last year with the draft and sign that. And so really not a ton of guys. One guy that I would love to see back, who's our own guy, Shaq Barrett, and that rotation, but I know he kind of wants to be able to be a focal point on someone's defense, so I think he's more looking to move on, not because of the relationship's bad, but, you know, when you're stuck behind Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, you know, he doesn't really want to be a rotation guy when he can probably be a starter elsewhere. So I don't know if there's a guy that jumps off the page of you, though, that in free agency you think they should address or at least contact.
Well, depending on if the Chiefs re-sign him or not, there's been some ripples coming out that we're not too interested in looking at him. I think we should, but if he does hit the market, I'd think the Broncos should take a look at Mitch Morse. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a very young and very talented center, played for the University of Missouri, and you know who he played with at one point in time was a young quarterback prospect who you guys might become very familiar with in Drew Lock.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just little things like that behind the scenes, you know, Mitch Morris and Drew Lock having that that camaraderie, and obviously the center quarterback positions are supposed to be in sync at all times. So you kind of want to see that. You know, that would be a perfect world scenario if you could somehow bring Mitch Morse in and then to help the development of the young Drew Lock, even though they're not, it's not like they're best friends, play together for their whole lives. But still, there's some background there, some common ground. So I think if Mitch Morse hits the market, Denver could get him at a really reasonable price. And he's a solid everyday starter at the center position.
Yeah, and that exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, because if they do decide to move on from Matt Paradis, they're going to need to fill that. At least bring someone else in. I think Connor McGovern, who moved from guard to center and played in his absence, and played pretty well. But I think they'd like to keep him at the guard position, and Mitch Morris is definitely a good one. So I think that'd be a great signing. So, I mean, to put it in my opinion, I think they really maybe try to look at the offensive line in free agency, but not a ton at skill positions or on the defense side of the ball. I think they stay more in-house and then go after the draft. Obviously, running back, no needs there. Receiver, probably not, unless you're bringing in a guy like a camp guy, but, you know, maybe sign some lesser name guy just to come and add to the room. But I don't really see a big splash signing this year from the Broncos.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, and looking at the roster, I don't think any of the big available free agents, none of them are team needs. You know, they're not going to bring in one of these edge rushing guys anybody like that. So yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and there's no really big name cornerbacks on the market. So
yeah,
I think you're probably right. You know, they'll bring in maybe a few guys for depth and build that O-line a little bit, but yeah, there's not going to be a big hoopla signing for the Broncos. I think you're right.
Yeah. Like I was alluding to, just that the top guys are just out of positions that aren't really necessary for them. So, you know, another maybe corner guy that I think you could maybe pay attention to would be like Jason Verrett, who's coming off injury. Maybe they could get him on a 1 or 2 year deal out of Los Angeles for fairly cheap. Brashad Breeland, free agent again, but I mean, he signed super late last year, so you think, like, why wouldn't they bring him in last year when he was just sitting there and we needed CB help? So don't necessarily think, but, you know, that's another name that might, you know, come across the table and they might think about. But yeah, maybe just an older veteran corner, you know, Tremaine Brock, who they've had last year, is going to be a free agent, so maybe they bring him back for another year or something. Yeah, I mean, they definitely need help at corner, but there's just not a lot out there. I mean, it's almost, you look at the class and you almost think, okay, well, they do need to just sign Roby and pay him a little bit more, because unless they're going to get two or three guys in the draft. It's really, because that was their biggest thing last year. I think they're really excited about Isaac Yiadom. I know I am. I think, you know, third round pick out of Boston College, a lot of talent. And he, you know, when he kind of got thrust in that starting role, he really started looking good towards the end of the season and coming into his own. But their biggest thing was his depth. You know, once they kept losing guys, it's like they're playing safeties at nickel because they just had no one that could even play corner. So I think they just need to add a few more depth guys and then maybe get a corner, depending on what they do. If they take Locke early in the first round, get a corner in the second or third that can come in and at least compete for a starting nickel spot.
Yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah, the corner market's very thin, but Averett could be a guy to keep an eye on. Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty low key off season. Do you see any big trades? Any, you know, if they maybe trade up or trade down, do you think there's any capital they have that may be a part of any trades in the off season?
You know, it seems like, and this is just the way the NFL is, any big trades are just for draft picks. You know, last year the big, not really big, but big for the Broncos offseason trade was getting Jared Valdir from Arizona, which I thought was a good trade. And you know, even if he was just a one-year rental, he played good when he was in there, when obviously the season didn't work out, but I thought he was a decent right tackle for us. And I think they just gave up a sixth-round pick for him. I think you see another something like that. If they see a guy with maybe an expiring contract they can bring in and just trade a late-round pick for, nothing really comes to mind. I think, you know, brand new coaching staff, there's not going to be a huge lot of splash moves just because it's that new coaching staff. You kind of want to get in, get a feel for your guys. You don't want to, obviously you want to implement your own culture, but you don't want to like completely overhaul the roster before you've even like had any OTAs or practice. I think that could be detrimental a little bit to the locker room. So I think they'll stick with kind of what they have. You know, guys like, we didn't mention him, but Shane Ray, I think he'll be gone 100%. Maybe a guy that the Chiefs look into, you know, him being a Missouri kid. Shaq Barrett, unfortunately, I think he'll be gone. But even with losing those two, they still have really good depth at the edge position, so that's not one I see really. So, yeah, I think just hanging on to some of the younger guys, maybe going after, like I said, a Trent Brown at the tackle position, and then really assessing most of the needs in the draft.
I like it. I think that's a good plan. I've always been a big believer that you build your team through the draft and then use free agency, spend a little money, just fill needs. But you definitely want to build through the draft. And I think the most successful teams, that's what they do.
Yeah. So before we head into our interview with Nick and get into the draft for the Denver Broncos, the one player I think that will be interesting, and I want to see your thoughts on it before we go into that interview, but Broncos haven't had really a good tight end since Julius Thomas. Maybe not good's the wrong word, but a receiving threat tight end. Virgil Green was a very good blocking end tight end, but you know, he was a lot left to be desired in the passing game. They drafted Jeff Heuerman, third round out of Ohio State. They just drafted Jake Butt 2 years ago, who tore his other ACL last year, so he'll be coming off of another ACL tear. Obviously still under contract, but you know, who knows when he's going to be healthy again. So Heuerman's entering free agency this year. We saw him actually finally kind of perform the way the Broncos wanted him to, and they took him, and then he got hurt. Is that a guy they re-sign? You know, could probably get for fairly cheaper. They let him walk and just address tight end in the draft. You know, they're really, I think the only free agents of note even are what's his name out of Oakland this year? Jared Cook.
Jared Cook.
Yeah, yeah, Cook's a free agent. I don't know. So that I think that's a really interesting name, really interesting position. That is definitely a need, but it's, you know, re-sign the guy in house. Not really anyone to go after. So if you let him walk, you're basically saying, yeah, we're just going to draft one most likely. Or you're thinking Butt's coming back healthy, start training camp.
Yeah, I think you re-sign him, if nothing else, for insurance. I mean, Butt, I think, is the higher ceiling guy. But again, if he can't stay healthy, he is no on-field value to your team. So I think they bring back Heuerman. They can get him fairly cheap. Now, one name to look out for, he's an older guy and he's way past his prime, but there are rumblings that Jimmy Graham could be out in Green Bay. And that's a name that maybe Denver wants to look at to bring in just to as that receiving threat. You know, Heuerman's a little bit of both. But Graham is definitely that receiving threat that maybe you could utilize in passing down situations and spread looks and stuff like that. That's a name to look out for. But yeah, but to answer your question, I definitely think Hireman should be brought back, if nothing else, for just that buffer zone and that insurance of having a solid tight end on your roster somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Just because of the improvement that he did show before he got hurt, actually became a threat in the passing game like they wanted. So he became reliable, and I can think of one bad drop he had, and it was against the Chargers. But other than that, he was a very reliable target for Case Keenum, and they started building kind of a little bit of a rapport. So I like to see him back. You know, unfortunately for the players, we don't need to get into contracts and stuff like that, but because they're not guaranteed, I'm sure they could have some sort of out clause if he does get injured again or something like that. So very team-friendly deal, but look to bring him back. So, well, if nothing else from you, we can go ahead and get in the interview. Do you have anything else you want to add?
No. Yeah, I'm ready to talk to Nick.
All right. Well, we're going to talk to Nick Kendall from the MileHighHuddle.com. Not the, it's MileHighHuddle.com. He's also a host of the Building Broncos podcast. So we're going to talk a little draft with him, get his insight. And, yeah, so here's an interview with Nick. All right, so this week on the Coach and the Don, we are extremely excited to invite Nick Kendall onto the show. You can find Nick over at MileHighHuddle.com, where he is an NFL draft analyst and a Denver Broncos analyst, and also part of a budding podcast that, Nick, I will let you announce that, but welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you guys very much for coming or for having me on. I'm sorry about said coming on. This is my third podcast today. We actually recorded two of the Building the Broncos podcast. We had Ben Albright on earlier, and we talked for about an hour about a bunch of Broncos scoops on there. So that was a lot of fun. And you guys are giving me an outlet to talk more football. So my fiance thanks you, because a lot of times she's like, man, all you talk about is football or science. So I'm glad to have a little bit of an outlet here to talk football. And I guess some people want to hear what I have to say, which is just a blessing. So thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we appreciate you taking the time. So, as we alluded to, you know, you cover the draft, you cover the Broncos. So what better to talk about while having you on? So we'll just kind of get right into the first round. I know everyone, you know, Broncos fans, we're still in search of that franchise quarterback. You did a very extensive piece on, you know, Drew Lock, as he's kind of seems to be, no pun intended, but the guy that Elway's locked in on. You know, what's your thoughts on his? Do you think he'll be there at 10? Do you think they'll need to trade up? Do you think he's worthy of that 10th overall pick? I'll just let you kind of break him down a little bit.
Well, the thing about Drew Lock with me is that I think he probably has the highest attainable upside of any quarterback in this class. You know, you got guys like Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins who put up better statistical numbers, but I mean, those guys are playing point guard for highly efficient offenses with just weapons galore around them, but weren't asked to make, you know, throw after throw of NFL caliber throws, you know, those tight window throws that you need to be able to execute at the next level. But when you watch Drew Lock, it's not that he had a horrible team around him. You know, it's not like he was playing at Iowa State. You know, I got to throw a dig out there when I can, being a Hawkeye. But, you know, he had to really carry an offense, and he played in three different offensive coordinators during his career there at Mizzou as well. But the amount of quality throws, or as friend of mine, Vach Lombardi, likes to say, big boy throws that he has on tape is very high. But you have also high variance with him. You know, a lot of times he'll have the great throw, but sometimes, especially under pressure, he'll lose his damn mind and do something just crazy. You know, the interception that he had against South Carolina, where it was a pick six, just stupid stuff under pressure. So is he worth the 10th overall pick? If you believe he's going to be a franchise quarterback, you got to take a swing on him. The quarterback is a position that lives in its own universe compared to other positions. And if you have a first round grade on him, he's worth taking 10th overall. Even if he's like, you know, the 25th guy on your board, if he has a first round pick, you got to take a swing on him when you're a team like the Broncos. Fifth year option, getting that quarterback in there, that matters so much. Where would he rank compared to like last year's class? He probably would have been my quarterback 4. So potentially in hindsight, would have been better for the Broncos to go quarterback last year and then maybe defensive line this year. Maybe, but you know, hindsight's 20/20. So we'll see. But will he be there at 10? That is another good question. I am not quite ready to say that. It does seem like Dwayne Haskins is the consensus first quarterback on the board. He's a guy that has some questions as well. I don't like him as much as the national media does. At least they did. It seems like they're starting to kind of come back down to earth on Haskins a little bit. But that being said, man, is he going to be there at 10? It only takes one team to fall in love with him. The whole Kyler Murray situation is totally unprecedented as well. Like, was he even going to play football? What do teams think about a 5'9" quarterback? So there's a lot of variables there. But I think that he is the guy that the Broncos like the most. There's moxie to him. He's got the ability to make plays out of structure and in structure, which is something we saw Jared Goff, you know, the ability to get play outside of structure absolutely killed the Rams in the Super Bowl there. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot that they like about him. Is he a day one player at quarterback? I don't think so. There are some flaws to his game, his footwork specifically, his eye speed. He's pretty slow getting from read to read. He's gotten better and better at that, but I just think that's something he's going to have to continue to improve on, mainly just the bottom mechanics. But, yeah, I think that the Broncos like him a lot. Is he going to be there at 10? Who knows? The Broncos have definitely already been in contact with a few teams about moving up. Probably not something you'll see until the actual day of the draft, mm-hmm. just because there's not three quarterbacks they'd like. Last year was kind of a weird situation because the Jets liked Darnold, Mayfield, and Rosen enough that they were comfortable getting to three and taking any of the three that were there. It's not the case this year with this quarterback class. So the Broncos definitely are in play to trade up when that happens. I definitely would prefer him to fall to 10, but who knows? It's a very fluid situation, and there's a lot that's going to – a lot of jostling is going to go back and forth until the draft.
Yeah. One thing that may have helped them, hopefully, in the case of maybe being able to stay at 10 was the whole – Nick Foles getting buying back his freedom today to be able to enter free agency. So maybe he would find himself at one of those teams that are drafting before the Broncos, which could kind of change drafts or trading scenarios, I guess. But one more question for me, and then I think Talon had something on it. But, you know, I saw a tweet, and, you know, I can't remember who it was. It was someone of decent relevance when it comes to scouting or whatnot, and he basically said that from what he's seen, Drew Lock is a poor man's Patrick Mahomes. Does that have any relevance whatsoever, or do you see that transcribing at all on the field, or is that just someone blowing smoke?
It's very difficult to do player comparisons because there's no exact comparison. There never is. But the thing where I see some Patrick Mahomes in Drew Lock isn't so much he doesn't have the same elusiveness out of the pocket that you see with Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't have the same just incredible arm talent that you see with Mahomes. But I think it's a lot of the perceived flaws that Locke has that Mahomes had coming out. You know, Mahomes was a guy that he would bail on clean pockets all the time. And in the NFL, you can't do that. You're putting yourself in harm's way. You're getting yourself out of reads that you should be making from. I mean, you have to be able to play within structure in the NFL. And he did not do that very often at Texas Tech. He would look to escape. And that's something you see with Drew Locke as well. Like, he will bail on clean pockets pretty often. Sam Darnold also had this issue. And when that happens, you're putting yourself in harm's way. You're not resetting your feet. And because he has the arm talent and the surprising mobility, he can get away with it at college from time to time, putting himself in bad situation, but he can get away with it. But it's going to need to be cleaned up at the NFL level. So I don't see it as a player for player comparison, but I can see it as far as the perceived flaws and negatives coming out of Mizzou, that I see those lining up a little bit between those two players.
Yeah, so Nick, if the Broncos don't get Drew Lock, and they're still sitting there at 10, do they go for another quarterback, or do you think they fall to their second position of need, whether that be D-line or you know, possibly O-line? What do they think they do? Do they take a flyer on another quarterback, or do they just go BPA and team fit and need?
Well, what I can pick up is that I think they do like Daniel Jones as well, not as much as Locke, and he could be a guy that's in play at 10. I really hope not, because I do not think Daniel Jones is a great quarterback. There's just nothing about him that stands out to me. I think his absolute ceiling would be Ryan Tannehill, but he looks like a slightly more mobile Glennon to me, which just does not get me hyped up at all. I know you're getting kind of that rookie fifth-year option, and he's going to be a value that time, but I cannot buy him in the first round, especially in the top 10. So I think they would look best player available. And, you know, it depends on if Haskins falls or whatnot as well. But I think best player available at position of value / position of need is a way they'd look. Personally, I think they would look for – there are the big three interior defensive linemen, and then there's Devin White. So the big three interior defensive linemen in this class, Quinnen Williams, who's a guy that probably should go top five. Odds are he's not going to be there, but we are yet to see him at the combine. He only has 1 year of starting experience. So if he measures in a little smaller than they want, a little less arm length than they want, or doesn't test as well in the field drills, especially against a guy like Ed Oliver, who's going to absolutely just kill the field drills at the combine, then you could potentially see him fall. And that'd be a guy that, I mean, you get an interior pass rusher to play between Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, I'm all about that pass rush synergy. I mean, it makes everybody else better. You can't leave all three of them one-on-one because somebody's going to wreck your game plan. Same can be said for Ed Oliver. There's some questions about his size, his arm length. He did have that jacket issue where he got into it with his coach a little bit. Players who are not dressed for the game aren't supposed to wear the team jacket on the sideline, and he did. And they kind of had a little, I wouldn't say a scuffle, but a comeuppance on the sideline during a game. So that's something to kind of monitor. You know, there's some questions about the character there, the maturity, I guess. Not the character, but the maturity with Ed Oliver. But just an absolutely crazy athlete at the defensive tackle position. But we're going to need to see how he measures. He could be 6'1 and 275 pounds. And, I mean, how many interior defensive linemen are playing that size in the NFL? Not many. So that's a concern. And then another guy that's a concern at the interior defensive line spot is Jeffrey Simmons. He is I absolutely love his tape. He's a guy who reminds me of a lot of Ndamukong Suh. Not as dominant at Nebraska, but he's playing against SEC offensive linemen compared to Big 12. But he is so strong at the point of attack. He's got great burst. And I really think Mississippi State did not use him properly. I think he was their strongest interior defensive lineman, but a lot of times I feel like they used him as a guy who would create secondary pressure, where his job was, instead of creating initial disruption, it was to watch the quarterback and then kind of collapse where the quarterback was stepping up, as well as watch for kind of leaks out of the backfield, whether it be the screen game, the draw game, et cetera, which, I mean, if you watch the Kansas State tape, he snuffed out so many screens in that game because of that. So I get it, but I think his best fit will be in a one-gap scheme where he can get in the backfield and cause disruption. And I think he's my second interior defensive lineman just because of the size concerns with Oliver translating. That said, he does have an off-field issue where he was in high school and there was a neighborhood brawl where his sister was in a fight with another female, and he got in and punched a female on the ground when he was a minor, there's a video of it, and he punched a female on the ground a couple times. And since then, coaches rave about his character. People in leadership positions talk about him, but that domestic violence issue is obviously going to be a huge issue. I mean, it's no tolerance for a lot of teams. And was he a minor? Does he deserve a second chance, et cetera, et cetera? I'm really glad I don't have to be the one to put my reputation on the line and make a decision one way or the other. But as a player, I like him a lot. The final guy there that I'd probably talk about for the Broncos would be Devin White. He is an off-ball linebacker. I like to call him off-ball to edge. You know, a lot of times people get confused between outside linebacker. Is it a 3-4? Is it a 4-3? So I categorize them as edge versus off-ball, but he's an off-ball linebacker, and he's got tremendous athleticism. I don't think he is going to make the year one impact that we saw some of those off-ball linebackers from last year. You know, you had a crazy off-ball linebacker class, Darius Leonard, Leighton Vander Esch, Roquan Smith. I don't think he's going to make that year one impact, but his athleticism to size package is really quite rare. 6'1", 240 pounds, can get sideline to sideline, looks pretty loose in space, and the amount of power that he brings when he makes his hits as well. I mean, that's a presence at the interior or at the inside linebacker position that the Broncos haven't had since, I mean, if we're being honest, Al Wilson. So, and with Vic Fangio coming in, they're looking for more athleticism, not only coming downhill, you know, blitzes and whatnot, but in space, going backwards, moving laterally. And that's something that Todd Davis and Josie Jewell just don't have. So those would be the big four. There are some offensive linemen as well. You got Jonah Williams, Cody Ford, and a guy who's, I mean, now that a lot of people are getting their eyes on the tape of him this season, Juwan Taylor from Florida. Those are guys that are also going to be in play there. But if you ask me right now, I think you got to go with one of those big three interior defensive linemen or Devin White. Those would be the guys that I'd really look at there.
Yeah, so let's say, obviously great job breaking all those guys down, but let's say they go, you know, Locke's available at 10. They take Locke at 10. So let me get into the second round. Obviously, some of those guys you mentioned are not going to fall that deep. You have guys like Devin Bush, who another talented linebacker, obviously not of the Devin White caliber, but a guy that could, you know, be there in the second round that could potentially be a good fill for them. You have other offensive linemen that could possibly fall, maybe a safety, maybe one of those tight end guys from your alma mater. I'm sure you have plenty to talk about them. But what do you see them doing in the second round if, say, they take quarterback at 10?
Well, a lot of it's going to depend on free agency. Obviously, the Broncos are going to have a lot of money in free agency this year. They're going to move some guys around. You know, we'll see what happens with Leary and Emmanuel Sanders. Their injuries kind of make things a little bit more cloudy, but guys like Darian Stewart and Brandon Marshall are definitely gone. And I've even heard that they might not bring back Matt Paradis, which can give them some other money to move around. But I think that offense, I'd be looking at offense again, and specifically offensive line and tight end. There's some really good tight ends in this class, and it's really deep, but there are three that stand above the rest. You got both Iowa guys, you got Noah Fant, TJ Hockenson, and Alabama's Irv Smith Jr. And I think if any of them are there around two, that adds an element to the Broncos offense, especially with Scangarello coming over, that they just haven't had in a long time. And, you know, that's, we saw what George Kittle did with Scangarello and that zone blocking West Coast scheme in San Francisco. So not saying that obviously you're going to get another Iowa tight end, it's going to be the exact same thing, but there's guys that know that scheme that can come in. They know the routes, they know the blocking that's necessary to do that. So that's something that I'm interested in. We'll see if they fall to the second round. If not there, I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos look to go offensive line, a guy that they've been linked with, obviously, because he actually ran and tried to approach John Elway at the Senior Bowl just to meet him. But that's Dalton Risner from Kansas State. I'm not as high on him as some are. I think he's perfect top of round two. I don't think he's a first round talent personally, just because this right tackle class in the draft looks to be pretty darn good. But I think second round, you're getting him there. He's a guy who's worked with Matt McChesney before. He was a strength coach for the Broncos, so there's a connection there already. And he's one that I would definitely look into. If not him, you're starting to look at potentially maybe some cornerbacks. There's Imani Oyewariye from Penn State. There's Rakia Sin from Temple. There's also some, like you met Devin Bush. I think he'll probably go round one, but maybe a guy like Jermaine Pratt from North Carolina State is in play, and maybe even wide receiver. I mean, what's going to happen with Emmanuel Sanders? That's going to determine a lot with this class, and you could get a guy like Debo Samuel there, maybe even Hollywood Brown to give Locke a weapon that, I mean, you got to love Cortland Sutton as an X, you know, the big body guy. Deshaun Hamilton more as the intermediate, can play some slot, can play some Z, but they don't really have a guy that is the true take the top off the defense type. So that's an area they could look in the draft, especially because, I mean, there's a lot of good pass catchers in this draft. I don't think there's many true wide receiver ones as far as, you know, elite guys, maybe DK Metcalf at Ole Miss, but a lot of good wide receiver twos. And I would be surprised. It'd be silly not to play the value game of the draft and take positions that are higher in quality in each draft class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you had to pick one position that you would be just completely shocked that the Denver Broncos went, within reason. I mean, obviously, they're not going to go running back. So somewhat realistic pick, but you would just be completely shocked that they take on day one or two.
Man, completely shocked day one or two. I guess because of resource allocation, it would have to be edge rusher, just because they're already going to be paying Bradley Chubb and Von Miller a fair amount of money. And I mean, day two, if there's a guy that you love there, yeah, you're still going to play, rotate in three guys. And if you think a guy can be a really good edge rusher there, get after the quarterback, then, I mean, take him. But given how much they're already paying Bradley Chubb and Von Miller, and they really like Jeff Holland, and I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Lynch comes along and is that fourth edge rusher, kind of a veteran that already knows the Fangio scheme. I just can't see them looking at edge rusher day one or day two. And that's kind of too bad, because it does look like a pretty good edge rusher class at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what they do. So I'll put you kind of on the spot here. I know we're early in the draft process, so we're all doing all of our studying and film watching. So kind of a tougher question, but is there a day three guy that you potentially see, you know, the Broncos potentially targeting, or just someone that could fill a void in day three and could potentially, you know, be a high impact player like we saw last year, guys starting that we got in day three. So is there any names that come to mind potentially that, you know, obviously we still have to do the combine and all that, but as of right now, kind of they're sitting in that day three threshold. You can see them being a good fit for this Broncos team.
Well, the guy who stands out to me has got to be Dalen Mack from Texas A&M. He is a one-gapping nose tackle, and I think he was a five-star recruit before he came to Texas A&M, and he's a guy whose tools have always been present. You can really see, just so explosive off the snap. Not really the best at two-gapping, but again, the Broncos, one-gapping scheme, Bill Collar, one-gapping scheme, they're trying to get in the backfield, get some penetration, and Mack's a guy that I know they met with at the Shrine Bowl, and he played really well there, got the call-up of the Senior Bowl, and I think just because he's a nose tackle and that's a devalued position in today's NFL, I mean, how often is the nose tackle actually on the field when you're going into sub-packages and stuff like that? But I think Dalen Mack is a guy that they will target day three if he's there, and he can get after the quarterback and provide a solid guy, depending on if they bring back Pecco or whatnot. But I think he's a guy that fits perfect scheme-wise and range-wise and value-wise. Another guy maybe you want to throw out there that maybe not a year one impact, but a guy that I wouldn't be surprised if they targeted round four, depending on what happens earlier in the draft, would be Jordan Te'amu from Ole Miss. He's kind of a more raw quarterback prospect, but you're not drafting quarterbacks to get a backup, especially where you're at with Denver right now. And Jordan Tiamo's one of the ones that actually has the tools that I think could develop into a starting quarterback. He's going to need some time. He's going to need some work, but he's got some mobility. He's got some arm talent. And if the Broncos miss out on quarterbacks rounds 1 through 3 and Tiamo's there round 4, I wouldn't be surprised if they took a swing on him just because the upside is there that he could eventually be a starter.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would be a good upside pick. But, you know, I'll leave you with this last question. And you alluded to it if they do miss out on the first round. But in your heart and your gut, do the Broncos, does Elway get his franchise quarterback in the first round? Do you see that being the play that they do and kind of go all in no matter what? Or do they more let the chips fall and maybe take a flyer in the later rounds?
I think it depends on, I mean, obviously, we're still a ways out. Mm. Got to say that just to cover my own butt. But
no, you're on the spot.
Yeah, for sure. But I think he loves Drew Lock, and I don't think the Jags are going to be going quarterback. I think they're going to go get Nick Foles, and I think that the Giants are much more likely to get a guy like Dwayne Haskins who fits that offense much more. So I could see Elway moving up to 5 just to guarantee he gets Drew Lock, but I think he does walk away with Drew Lock when it's all said and done. That being said, we still got the combine. Mm-hmm. We still got the pro day left. You know, got your Mizzou Tiger shirt on. Hopefully I'll be down there covering that this year. But yeah, so we'll see what happens. But there's way too much smoke with Drew Lock right now. And I know that, you know, it's the Lions season. How much is Elway tipping his hand? Well, we knew pretty well about this point, 2016, that the Broncos really liked Wentz and they liked Paxton Lynch. We knew, we really knew that the Broncos liked Garrett Bowles in 2017. And we had an idea that the Broncos liked Baker and Mayfield last year. I think they would have taken those two guys if they had been there. Chubb was the next guy. Otherwise, they had a deal in place with the Bills to trade down. But Elway's not a guy who's, so far at least the Broncos front office, maybe they got some leaks in there they need to check in on. But they have not been great with keeping things close to their chest. So I think it's Lock, and I think that they're going to try to be patient. But if they get a little bit scared and the price isn't too much to trade up, I wouldn't be surprised if they move up, maybe even as high as 2 with a trade with the 49ers. But I don't think they want to give up a future first-round pick. I think there's too much variance with Lock, too high of a mistake potential with Lock. He's not a sure thing. Mm-hmm. You know? So I do think in the end, though, that the Broncos walk away with Drew Lock, and he sits half a season behind Case Keenum, maybe even a full season, but half a season behind Case Keenum as he works on some of the kinks, getting a little bit better, you know, resetting his feet, going through progression, just getting more accumulated to the NFL game.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. That's kind of my sentiment, what I've heard and think as well. So, but well, you know, that's the beauty of the season. We get to watch it all play out, get to see all the storylines, watch the combine. But Nick, we really appreciate you taking the time on a Tuesday night to come on the show with us. Once again, you can find Nick. He does draft and Broncos analysis, for Mile High Huddle, or you can find him on the Building the Broncos podcast. So, Nick, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it, man.
Hey, guys. Thank you. Anytime. If you want me on again before the draft or after the draft or anything like that, you know where to reach me.
Yeah, we'll be in touch for sure. So, yeah, keep doing the good work, and we'll talk soon, all right?
All right. It sounds good. Have a good night, guys.
You too,
you too, Nick.
All right, we want to give a big thanks to Nick Kendall for coming on the Coach and the Don. Appreciate that. Thank you all for listening. Talon, pleasure as always.
Yes, sir. Same on this end.
Yeah, so, you know, we have our another show recording Friday night for you. That'll be our normal show. And then again, next Tuesday, we'll break down probably another team of either the AFC or NFC West and maybe have someone on to get their inside of their draft selections and talk a little free agency, kind of how we did this one. So, I guess we'll pick the team throughout the week, and we'll tweet that out and let everyone know who we'll be discussing on Tuesday. But, yeah, thanks, everyone, for listening. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes or Google Podcasts, wherever it is you listen to podcasts, and make sure to head over to sportsaldente.com and subscribe to one of our subscription packages. We really appreciate all the support. Have a great week. We'll talk to you on Friday.